Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Do you know why we're saying that? It's Advent, that's right. It's the beginning of a new church year. And unlike the secular New Year, when people will drink champagne and wear party hats and gorge themselves on all sorts of hors d'oeuvres, we are going to talk about the end of the world. Now, that might seem a little bit backwards, doesn't it? This is supposed to be a season when we're getting ready for the birth of the baby Jesus, and instead, here we are at the end of Luke, reading this rather, dare I say, apocalyptic paragraph. Now, we all know that there should be signs when disaster is heading our way, right? Perhaps you've seen movies that have had the apocalypse as part of the storyline, and there are things that always seem to happen. So there might be little ripples of water, like concentric circles, moving out in a glass of water on the table. And we know that that must be a sign that a dinosaur is outside and stopping his way toward us. Perhaps there are flocks of birds that appear out of nowhere, and they are just all going in one direction, and then we see herds of deer or other animals making their way across the landscape at a great clip, and we know that means that there's going to be an earthquake or some other kind of natural calamity. Or perhaps there are happy people, they've gathered together and they've got signs, and they're all gathered on top of a skyscraper waiting to welcome the aliens, which is surely a sign that they are about to deploy their lasers and destroy everything. You've seen some of these? Perhaps you like to watch zombie shows on TV now or read Stephen King novels. People have spent a lot of time and creative energy imagining how the world is going to end. So what about this passage? People have read it and they've thought, yeah, it's all here. The earth, the sun, the moon, the waves, everything is going kablooey. We can look for signs of the end in the world around us. But what if we are looking for the wrong signs? What if the gospel and this passage in particular are not telling us about how God is going to destroy creation? Now, this is the kind of passage at which a pastor can really geek out, because I could spend lots of time now giving you all sorts of historical background about the destruction of the temple and how it influenced Luke and the early Christians. I could engage in all sorts of literary criticism and talk to you about the echoes of the Old Testament that are found in this passage. Or I could just give you a good lesson in liturgics and talk about what Advent is supposed to be in terms of our worship practices and these other things. But you are all sitting in your pews saying, God help us from that, because that would truly be the apocalypse. We've got a full service and we need to move things along. What I will tell you is this passage does not have to do with the end of the world. Apocalypse itself has nothing to do with the end of the world. It is a technical term. It involves revelation and unveiling of something. If you think about the book of Revelation, and that's revelation, not revelations, revelation, it is not a prediction of the end of the world. It is a story about the coming of God's kingdom. The apocalypse is telling us that God isn't going to destroy everything. You don't have to worry about that. But what you do have to worry about is how God is going to change everything. And that's kind of scary if you think about it. We're all very comfortable here in our sanctuary and singing our hymns and hearing our holiday music, doing the things we've done every year. We think we're ready for Christmas, but we're not. And it's not because we haven't finished all of our shopping or done all of our cleaning or sent out all of our cards. It's because on Christmas Eve, we are going to remember something that has already happened. God is going to enter into our world as one of us and share our experiences. And in doing so, he's going to usher in the kingdom of heaven. And if we let him, everything will change. Do you want anything to change? Do I want anything to change? That is one of the questions we will grapple with during this Advent. This is a season of preparation. It is a season of contemplation. It is a season of waiting. And you'll hear me say this over and over again. We need to slow down. We need to catch our breath. We need to wait for things to happen. Advent is not some technical term of the church that means pre-Christmas. It is a season in and of itself. Secular society may tell you that it is pre-Christmas. And if you buy that message, then you really aren't into Advent. Now, I know you will go to the store and you will hear all sorts of Christmas music over the next few weeks. And maybe you've got a radio station that plays Christmas music in the car. And they're going to play it until 12:01 a.m. on December 26th. And then Christmas will be over. That's wrong. I will tell you that. That is wrong. Christmas does not begin until the evening of December 24th. And then it will continue right through Epiphany. It's a whole season. And Advent is a season in and of itself, too. We need to be alert. We need to take time to pay attention. We need to look for the signs. And if we pay attention to the wider culture, we will look for the wrong signs. Christmas is not happening now. It will happen later on. The season of Advent is happening now. It starts today. And some of us might just want to get it over with. Why don't we start singing some Christmas carols next week? We're not going to do that. And it's okay. If you think that you are really, truly ready for the advent of Jesus right now, you're kidding yourself. Now, I know that not everybody here is a parent. Not everybody here could have children. Not everybody here has wanted children. But I suspect just about everybody here has at least known somebody who has gone through the birth of a child. And there are lots of things that we hear that sound cliched, but my God, are they true? You can't imagine how much your world is going to change with the arrival of a newborn. Everything you do to get ready is not enough. You've got to prepare a room. You've got to look at your schedule. You've got to figure out what you're going to let go. And then that baby shows up, and you still aren't prepared. Despite the fact that your friends who have children have told you what to expect. Despite the fact that your parents have told you what to expect. Your child is different. Your child is unique. Your child is going to mess up your life more than anybody else. Right? But once you get into that experience, it's a remarkable transformation. Now, imagine that amped up a million times, and that's what Advent is supposed to be. You're ready to deal with that now? I don't think so. And you've done this for 50 years or 60 years, you're still not ready for it. And that's okay. We've got some time. So, my hope is that over the coming weeks, we will take a few moments to sit down, to catch our breath, to contemplate the season, to think about our blessings and to start looking for the right signs. And then, at the end of Advent, we will welcome the baby Jesus, the arrival of God's kingdom, and all of the opportunities that that will provide.